This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey, everyone. Adam Ritz with you. Jay Baker is joining me on the phone. Jay, how's it going?
It is going well. We're entering a good time of year. We've got a big basketball tournament to look forward to. We have spring training in the America's Summer Game. And frankly, I think everyone in the United States is ready for winter to come to an end.
Oh, man. I am ready to say goodbye to these temperatures. Hopefully, where you are listening, it's warm for you, maybe even year-round. But even for those people, they've had some cooler temperatures here with some storms in the last few weeks. I do know, Jay, next week we'll probably be talking about the daylight savings times. We gain an hour starting not this weekend, but next weekend. So I've noticed where I live, it's been getting dark around 6:30. I'm so excited that in just a few days, it's going to be getting dark around 7:30. I cannot wait.
You love it. I mean, it is interesting that I think sort of the momentum to end moving the clocks has kind of slowed down a little bit because, I mean, everybody does it and there are some inconveniences. But I don't think I've ever met anybody that embraces daylight savings time quite like you do.
You know, seasonal depression, I think, is a real thing. It is for me. Mostly it's due to the darkness. And when I get home from work in the dead of winter and it's dark by 5:30 in the afternoon, I shut down. It's like I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit on the couch. The day is over. The dark sky signifies to me the day is done. And when it's light out longer, I don't know. My attitude's better. I want to go for a walk through the neighborhood. I still want to work on some things for my job. I don't give up. I don't give up on life when it's still light outside.
You do raise a good point, and, you know, we've talked about on this show about seasonal affective disorder and how light is something that really helps with that. And then we've talked about, you know, how America has kind of morphed into a different setup for retirements and things like that because of exactly what you talked about. When it is dark and gloomy for sometimes days on end, it's like, give me sunshine, or at least give me moderate temperatures.
I need some vitamin D. We'll talk more about that next week. Jay, I wanted to start today with one of my favorite artists, Christopher Cross. You know I'm into the yacht rock, and I love his two biggest hits, Sailing and Ride Like the Wind. He's part of a benefit concert coming up this summer. The tickets went on sale this weekend. It's called Will Rock for Food. It's a fundraising concert on Friday, June 19th. And the event will take place in Marion, Illinois, at the Marion Cultural and Civic Center. And it benefits the ministry's food pantry and soup kitchen. So my tip of the captain's hat to Christopher Cross for using his talents to raise awareness and funding for food pantries and soup kitchens, including the one in Marion, Illinois, with this concert, Will Rock for Food. And I know you, that was on your resume at one point when you did classic rock radio, Will Rock for Food. Some of your jobs, you didn't even make any money. They just paid you in food.
Yeah. And oddly, it was, dented cans sometimes. You know how that goes. But no, we've talked about that it's so good to see people lending their talents because, as you said, you would go to a Christopher Cross concert in a moment's notice. You can go now and actually help the community.
Yeah, what a great concert for Marion, Illinois. I'm not exactly familiar with this city or town, but it's most likely not a huge market, not the kind of city that gets, a five-time Grammy winner to show up. So I'm guessing the Marion Cultural and Civic Center is kind of a modest-sized auditorium, maybe 2,500 seats. So what a great evening of entertainment. The tickets are probably modest in price, and you can have a great night singing along the Yacht Rock hits with Christopher Cross and know that your money's going to benefit the food pantry and soup kitchen. So, yeah, we love when the entertainment and your charitable dollars match up.
We do have a couple of quick mentions since you brought that up. Sting performed Message in a Bottle at the Sunday for Sammy benefit. That happened in Newcastle, England. The show raises funds for local emerging artists. So that was cool that Sting came out. Metallica, and when you hear this at first, you're going to go, now why? Metallica will be honored at the 2026 Red Cross Gala, which happens at the Conservatory in San Francisco. And why will Metallica be at the Red Cross Gala?
Is it because they've done a lot to bring awareness to the American Red Cross?
Yes, they conducted a series because, you know, we've always talked about it. Giving blood is important. The Red Cross was one of the first organizations to recognize, hey, if you're a healthy individual and you're so inclined, that blood donation of yours goes a long way. People are dealing with bloodborne illness and injury in the summertime. As the weather warms up, the need for blood increases, and Metallica did a great job this year by setting up some great Metallica-themed blood drives in cities that they appeared in during their last North American concert.
So cool. Very cool to hear. I'm hoping the award they get is an actual, like a little trophy, like a Grammy, and it's in the shape of a heart.
That would be great. You need to talk to the Red Cross Gala people.
Maybe
My guess is it
could be just a ventricle or an aorta, but I hope it's the whole heart.
Well, when I see gala, I realize I don't have the clothes to go to this.
This gala function means no Jay Baker invited.
that velvet sport coat that I have as a joke from college is not going to make it here.
It's not going to cut it.
It's not going to cut it. Here's another group of artists doing good, and it's guys that you like. James Taylor, the Doobie Brothers, are just a couple of artists who have signed up for a big online auction by Gibson Gives Benefit. Gibson Gives Benefit is a long-standing charitable trust that was set up by the Gibson guitar people. So they basically collect a number of guitars that have been signed by artists. This year's lineup: James Taylor, Doobie Brothers, Judas Priest, Alice Cooper, Tedeschi Trucks Band, Willie Nelson, and a whole lot of others are artists who have donated signed guitars.
You know, probably my least favorite artist as far as music on the list that you just read is Willie Nelson, but that would be that's my number one on the list of guitars to get. I would want his guitar.
Yeah, he's a heck of a name. And as you said, a signed, an authentic signed Willie Nelson guitar would be the bomb. And that's what they do count on. Now, this particular auction will go live on March 5th. Gibson Gives is the foundation, along with First Bank Amphitheater Music Education Program. Those will be the two beneficiaries. You can get more information. I'm going to tell you to look up a name as opposed to give you a website because, quite frankly, the website information they gave me is a bit convoluted. But if you look up Julien's, Julien's Auction Guitars, it will come up and you'll get all the information you need because literally this is a national auction. And who knows? I know my friend Adam would do a lot to get a Doobie Brothers signed guitar.
I'd love to have a Doobies and a Willie Nelson signed guitar. Love it. And I don't think that my final bid will match what the final bid will be. If this is a national online auction, these just those names you gave could raise $1 million.
Right. Well, that's the kind of the beauty of, like you said, you lend your name to this and people respond in kind, and it does go to help those in need. Now, Adam, I am just the messenger, so don't get upset with me, but new research says effectively not much difference between intermittent fasting and traditional diets. Now, you know, we've had sort of trendiness in different diets, and you have to find one that's healthy and safe for you through your physician. But a lot of individuals I know are big fans of intermittent fasting. It's still an effective way to lose weight and stay healthy, but it may not be as effective as a traditional diet.
Please consult your physician. What is the line we say? Is that what we say?
We say always moderation, and please consult with your physician before attempting any advice given to you by disc jockeys.
That's right. Please consult your physician.
Because the disc jockeys care for you. It's just that, you know, we didn't really get our degrees in medicine.
I mentioned intermittent fasting to my mom a few years ago, and it was like I was telling her some crazy voodoo that she thought I was going to die from. She's like, I think in my, at least whatever I had heard about or whatever I was trying was kind of one of those situations where you don't eat anything until noon. And
right.
Then you can eat normally until 8 p.m., and then you don't eat anything after 8 p.m. So you basically, any food you intake, you do so during the eight-hour period of noon to 8. And describing that to my mom was like, you are going to die if you do that.
Yes.
You got to have breakfast.
Absolutely. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you, but yes, you raise a great point. When you say, hey, this is something that somebody came up with and it does work for some individuals, but you're right. Your mom, she knows, like, you got to have the big Grand Slam breakfast.
You got to have the breakfast. You got to have the protein. You got to have, red meat, ground beef by 11 a.m. 2 pounds of it by 11 a.m.
Yeah, I was just watching a show that was based in the United Kingdom not too long ago, and guys were lamenting, you think you have a big breakfast problem here in America. There is a thing called the full British breakfast. It is pretty involved. It can be anything from pork and beans to sausages to eggs to all kinds of stuff, depending on where you're from. And yes, eating a British breakfast every morning may not be the best way to go, but check with your physician.
Check with your physician, always in moderation.
There you go. Hey, you know, babysitting is a great way to make a little extra money if you're young. But if you remember getting $5 an hour when you used to do it, you'll be a little shocked at how much money babysitters are making nowadays.
Can I guess?
Sure, go ahead.
I want to say, okay, my kids are grown up and older than dirt, and so am I. And back in the day when we paid babysitters for them, it was $10 an hour. That was around 2005. So 20 plus years later, add inflation and cost of living increase, is it up to, I'm going to say, is it $20 an hour? I'm going to say it's at least 15.
If you guess $20 an hour, you're right there in the ballpark range. There is a company called Urban Sitter, and Urban Sitter is a national company that tracks childcare cost trends. They've been doing it for the insurance industry, but you and I know that a number of people are exploring side hustles and things of that nature, but you are absolutely correct. Nowadays, the hourly rate for babysitters can be anywhere from $19 to $29 an hour.
Wow.
Now, a lot of that, Adam, is location. You might imagine that in a large city like, well, let's just select Chicago at random, you very easily could expect to spend close to $30 an hour. And that price would be, let's say, drastically different in the middle of Iowa. But it probably at least $19 is probably a sensible price for a sitter.
Maybe that's why this younger generation is not having kids. They just want to avoid the babysitter.
You can imagine that's the only thing they're avoiding.
That's the main
reason. You know, I've put off buying a house. Heck, I've even put off marriage. But now I'm putting off the babysitter.
So, Jay, there is somebody listening to this show who just got married. And
right.
If they're going to have a child in the next 5 years, 5 years after that, when they're getting babysitters, the national average will be $30 an hour. Think about that, couples that just got married.
I know, but that is life. But see, then the flip side is if you're a responsible teenager 10, 15 years from now, you might be making $30 an hour.
That's true. What I hear you say, Jay, is this might be the last public affairs radio show you hear as Adam starts his babysitting consultancy company.
I would be a terrible babysitter because I'm much too cranky to be around children. I'm super responsible, but kids don't want to hear my opinion.
You, at the Adam Ritz babysitting consultancy firm, I would be $25 an hour. Jay would pay you $25 an hour because you don't want your kids anywhere near him.
No, absolutely not. Hey, nearly half of Americans get scam messages almost every day. We've talked about this in the past, but looking at it from this angle, it might be a bigger problem than we originally shared with you. A new survey from U.S. News and World Report reveals in a nationwide poll of 1,200 adults, almost half are being contacted by potential scammers on a daily basis.
I believe it. They're everywhere. I get texts and calls. It used to say telemarketer, possible telemarketer calling. Now my caller ID says spam or scam.
Yes.
I mean, I heard of one, Jay, this week on my local news. They did a story on a 92-year-old gentleman who was scammed out of $200,000 with a very popular scam known as the Publisher Clearinghouse scam, where people will call you, and they do prey on the elderly. They'll call you and say that you won $18 million in the Publisher Clearinghouse sweepstakes. $18 million. But in order for you to collect your money, you need to pay the taxes up front. So we need a payment of $200,000 to cover the taxes. Then we'll send you your check for $18 million. And in this story, the scammers were real people. This was not software or bots from another country. This was real people that offered to take the gentleman to his bank. They actually picked him up at his house, took him to his bank to get the $200,000. And he was scammed. He lost it. They got the money, left. He never saw the $18 million. It ended up being a cautionary tale on the news. So if you get contacted by some lottery or Publisher's Clearinghouse saying that you won money but you need to pay the taxes first, that ain't real.
No, and I hate hearing stories like that. But super quick, nearly a quarter of adults in this survey admit that they have lost money to a financial scam during the last 3 years. So think about that, Adam. They take 1,200 random people, and 23% said, yep, it's happened to me. So it's happened to a lot of people.
Jay, I'm shocked by that percentage. You're saying out of a random 100 adults, 23 have lost money in some sort of scam in the last 3 years.
That is what they are saying, yes.
That's a big number. I would have thought maybe two or three people out of the 100.
Yep, 1,200 adults and 23% admit. And how about this? The average amount of money lost was just a little bit under $2,000. and only 36% of those people actually got the money back. So I guess it's positive that in some instances they were able to recover the money, but that's more than a third of people did not.
Now, are the people that say they got scammed, are they counting people that said they paid to see a Ben Stiller movie and they felt like they got scammed out of their 12 bucks because they didn't get their money's worth?
We all have our favorite and non-favorite stars. So once again, I am not certain if that's part of the problem.
I do feel, I know I alienated myself because there are some listeners that love Ben Stiller and his movies. I'm from the school of thought, Jay, that anything Ben Stiller has been in would have been better if he wasn't in it.
There you go. Well, and the minute you said that, of course, you know, because disc jockeys all like to top each other, I thought to myself, someone claiming that seeing Rush Hour 5 was not a particularly strong Jackie Chan movie, and I would like my money back.
Right.
Absolutely.
But I will admit, I'm man enough to admit this. If Ben Stiller mentioned on his radio show my name, I'd hear about it.
Oh, yes.
Ben Stiller is not going to hear about this.
No, he'll be fine.
He'll be just fine.
But they do say, most Americans say that they have sort of upped their game to be a little more proactive to not be scammed, but not the least of which, I think the biggest takeaway from the story is, yes, it has happened. It's happened in the past. Unfortunately, it will probably happen again in the future, but it's the persistency of individuals that are saying almost on a daily basis, they're being contacted with this. So you get besieged, and you and I have chatted about this. We've brought this to our listeners' attention because you and I know that you get hit with so many scenarios. One or two of those may connect with you emotionally, and that's what they're counting on.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, you get hit so many times with them that it makes you wonder if the real communication you're getting from your service providers is real.
Right.
For example, I received a message this week from Apple support about my cloud data and that it's, you know, I'm running out of space on my cloud. I just immediately assume it's a scam. I deleted the message. And, you know, I'm not going to be surprised if I find out in a week or two that there's no room for all the pictures that are on my phone because I didn't, you know, take that message seriously.
One does not know. Like you said, it's harder and harder. And, you know, you and I both work for big companies. And, you know, when they send out those company-wide emails that say, you know, avoid these scams. And when you look at them, I remember one they sent to us as a test. About a year ago, it was pretty convincing. And the woman that puts these together for our company said, yeah, she goes, this one surprised me as well. And you would only detect it if you checked the return address on this email. It was the company name, but it was misspelled.
Yeah.
I mean, that's subtle.
Very.
Because you see your company name hundreds of times a day, and just the juxtaposition of one letter turned it into a scam.
And you might not even notice it was misspelled if you look at it and think, oh, well, that's a legitimate email address. And you bring up a great point. If you get an email message that may or may not be real, if you copy and paste the email address, throw it in your Google search, you will find like immediate hits saying this email has been used for scams.
Right. Yeah. Which is good. I think everyone is trying to help. And we've also pointed out when contacted for things of a nature of helping other people, I think the biggest tool you can use, and we've recommended this dozens of times, is the website charitynavigator.org. They are tremendous. So if you get contacted and, you know, local fire department needs a new piece of fire equipment, believe it or not, you can check and find out if it's real.
And that Charity Navigator website does not have Tropic Thunder listed as one of the scams. And it's solely because Tom Cruise is so good in that movie.
He is. It's so funny.
Okay.
Hey, here's some good news. Being fit may help you stay calm under pressure. This is just another good reason to keep your personal house in order. Some people get cut off in traffic, or they get into a disagreement with a friend, and then they kind of seem like they get maybe more worked up than they should be. Others seem to just sort of take it in stride. Well, a new research study says the difference may have a lot to do with how often you hit the gym.
Interesting. So, I never connected those two.
Yeah, in addition to helping improve heart health and lowering your risk of cancer, a new study finds that another benefit of exercise may be helping you to stay calm in stressful situations. And part of it is your body's ability to handle stress combined with, you'll appreciate this, for those that get in shape, there is a certain amount of, you know, there's a certain amount of commitment that you have to make to go to the gym. And that commitment, they say the mechanism of that is part of what helps you keep things in perspective whenever you encounter a stressful situation.
Sure. So sticking to a schedule, having accountability, that's all good. It's structure. That's structure in your life. Let's reverse engineer this, Jay. What I heard you say, you said if you're fit, if you keep fit, it can mean that you can stay calmer under pressure.
Right.
If I reverse engineer that, what I'm hearing is if you just stay calm, you don't have to go work out.
But once again, in moderation, check with your physician.
Yes, check with your physician, I should have said.
Hey, I heard I didn't need to get fit. What's going on?
Well, only if you stay calm. You must stay calm under pressure.
Hey, I found this to be really interesting because, you know, you and I laugh at the phrase, it's that time of year again, because of course, any time of a given year, it's time for something. Time for snow.
Every day of the year, this phrase applies. It's that time of the year.
Adam and I love this phrase. We use it all the time at work. People look at us like we've lost our minds, but we always go, it's that time of year again. But yes, it is that time of year again when some of the young people in your life may be doing a little spring break planning. And it's been a long time since my kids have gone on spring break. They have families of their own. Mm-hmm. This time of year is not spring break time. It's get those kids all lined up for a good summer. You know how that goes. Mm-hmm. But Travel and Leisure magazine put together the top U.S. destinations, and I wanted to share these with you because I thought they were interesting.
Perfect.
You know, I think we've kind of left the era of, hey, mom and dad, I've already spent lots of your money on tuition. Why don't you send me to some beach somewhere so I can be on MTV Rocks?
Right.
And you could realize you're going to have to spend even more money because, A, it costs money to go on this trip, and I might need bail money.
We might.
So you might. So this has changed around a bit. One of the top U.S. destinations, and they did this research through Google Info. Remember I told you, it's kind of intriguing. America has this almost frightening ability to use Google for everything.
Yes, that's an easy way to find the top five spots. You just have Google tell you what are the most Googled spring break destinations.
You'll love this. Hilo, Hawaii, number one.
I want to go.
Seems a little expensive, but it's in the U.S. And here's one without a beach. Asheville, North Carolina is number two on this list.
Shocking. Can't believe it.
Yeah, Music City. People like it. Sarasota, Florida, that old standby Sarasota, a great city in Florida. And here's one that surprised me, Long Beach, California.
If there's a beach in the name, I want to go there for spring break. Jay Baker, thank you so much for the information. You and I should do a show from Hilo, Hawaii, if that's how I say it. I don't know if that's right or not. I can say Long Beach, so maybe we'll just start there. Thanks for listening, everyone. You can hear this show and our previous shows in podcast form on our website, adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.